What's up, everyone? It is Denise Salcedo. Welcome back to the channel. I am very excited to introduce to you my guest for today. She is none other than the current Impact Knockouts World Champion, Mickie James. What's up, Mickie?
What's up? I'm good.
It's so good to have you.
You know what? I'm glad to be on here. Thank you for having me.
You know, the last time we spoke was about a year ago, and I feel like so much has happened since then where I was like, oh my God, like, where do I even begin with this interview? Because you've just been like doing so much.
It's been a whirlwind, I'll be honest. Like, I if you would have asked me then, you know, what do you expect in the next year? I think because I was just in such a weird, like, it was just, yeah, a lot has happened. And it's like, sometimes all these things kind of like fall away or figure, and I was kind of, okay, what am I going to do now? And then everything that's come up out of it, I'm just so grateful. I really am. It's just, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because the last time we spoke, I think you had just returned to WWE, or you were about to return. One of those two things. I'm trying to remember the time frame of that.
Yeah, it was from my injury.
Exactly.
I'm doing commentary and stuff like that, but I'd also torn my ACL, which was my first real surgery or injury that required, like, as far as hurting myself at a body part. That was in that recovery, you know, anyone who's torn an ACL and all those things, they know it's like 6 to 9 months. And mine was, I felt like I was ready at 6 months, but it was about 9 months before I made my return. But even still today, like my knee is not, you know, it you have to do constant stuff. It's crazy. But anyway, sorry, I went on a tangent, but I just,
no, that's okay. Yeah.
I had no idea the amount, and anyone who ever has to go through an injury or do anything, I implore you to please do your rehab, and because it's so important. It's so important to build your strength back up and to get your confidence back up, especially as an athlete, to like move and cut, and you just don't realize how much that one little thing matters. Like, that one piece of your body is super important.
And it's so crazy too, because you mentioned the knee, and it's like, if you don't listen to doctor's orders, and like you mentioned, if you don't do the rehab, you don't do the therapy, and then on top of that, you got all the mental stuff that you got to work through, especially if you're an athlete and you got to go in there and trust that body part of yours. I can only imagine like what an uphill battle that must have been.
Yeah. Well, and I'm great. Like, it was actually, I learned a lot about my own, like, stability and all these other things that I got a bunch. It was cool. I enjoyed going, and my therapist was amazing, and my surgeon was amazing. And even all the rehab stuff, like, it was really cool, because it was nice to find, because I was in that place, you know, when you first come out of surgery, like, oh God, is it ever going to be the same again? And, you know, there's so many different exercises. And it also challenged me to, because I'd have to change up my workouts according to my knee to still stay in shape, because there couldn't do certain things. To different types of exercises and routines and things to kind of keep yourself going and challenge yourself in different ways. And I always like a good challenge. So
how is the knee right now? Like, are you feeling good?
It is good, but I just had the match at Hard Times 2 with Kiera and then TV tapings. And it's like, it's not the same as it was before, right? It never will be, because there's just a little bit more scar tissue in there, or like inflammation. And so it's just like I'm terrible about like icing. One, I don't like to be cold. It's not enjoyable for me.
That is true. You
know? I mean, I like an ice cream.
Yeah.
I don't want it on, like, I don't want the cold on me, you know?
I don't blame you whatsoever. And especially right now, we're getting into the winter. You're like, and it hurts more in the winter, doesn't it?
It is unpleasant. It's
unpleasant. Oh my God.
And I'm like, this is a conversation Nick and I were having, because he's like, you know, I grew up in Virginia with all the seasons, and I always say, oh, I love those seasons. I love the winter, and the winter comes, and I'm like, oh, it's cold. I'm not going outside. I can't stand it. And he's like, you really hate the seasons. Why, we should live in like Florida or somewhere warm all the time. We're in Texas right now doing media. I landed freezing.
Oh God.
How does this happen, Texas? How do you get cold like this? I don't understand. I thought I was coming to the tropics or something. And no.
You're like, I was expecting like desert. I was expecting heat. Like, what right. is this?
I like suits, short suits, outfits. I don't want to wear my short suits, outfits. It's cold outside.
Oh my God. I don't envy you right now. I really, really don't. Like, I live out in Los Angeles. And for me, like, anytime it gets like anything below 70 degrees, I'm like, that's it. My back hurts. I'm yeah. done. It's too cold.
I got my layers on. I need yeah. all the things.
Exactly. So Mickey, let's go ahead and, you know, we kind of touched a little bit briefly about the wild year that you have had. And I mean, like on top of that, you had a wild year personally. Before that, we had COVID where everybody had a wild year. But let's focus a little bit in this year because around the springtime, you get your release. From there, you know, fast forward a couple months later, you are executive producing the show, an all-women show, NWA Empower. And now fast forward, you're back with Impact Wrestling. You got the belt right behind you. I kind of want to ask you a broad question, but seriously, with everything that has gone through and everything that you've been through this year, what would you say has been the biggest lesson that you have learned?
You got to keep pushing forward and not all is lost. Like sometimes we get to that. I think, you know, we get to sometimes at these points because you've put all your energy and the focus into this one thing. And then if that thing is taken away from you, a lot of people go like, okay, what? And that's why I was like, oh, what's next? And in those what's next moments, I think you really have to trust yourself and your gut. And I went with my gut and, you know, I could have went and wrestled somewhere and just showed up and it would have been awesome. But I felt like I really had to put my energy into the girl show because that's what I had put so much of my energy into. And just conversations. And I believe in it. And I still believe in it. I think an all women's product would do amazing and will do amazing and continue. And I hope that everyone kind of steps up and, you know, does more for their women. And I know a lot of companies do. The company I'm with, this one does. And NWA obviously has. And, you know, it was cool. It's cool to see it kind of come through and the fans really get behind it and almost validate what I was, you know, fighting for. So, it trended number one and number two, just above and under UFC all night long. So that's got to stand for something. I'm just saying.
When you have, you know, when you're putting on a show that a lot of people are telling you it's not going to work, it's not going to draw, women don't draw, et cetera, and all of the things that you have heard in regards to women's pro wrestling and all of that, how much pressure does that add to you to say, you know what, I want to prove you guys wrong? And then when you kind of have all eyes, you know, you're getting all of the media coverage, you're getting everybody on social media saying, oh, this is going to bomb or this is not going to bomb, you know, all of that input, how does that like motivate you? But at the same time, you know, did that add any pressure in putting together that event?
I think it only really, for me, it only really adds pressure if it's like my peers saying it. Like that would be the real kicker if it was like a specific company or a specific, you know, person that I respect or admire says like, oh, that'll never work. It is a bit soul crushing, right? Like it sucks. And obviously everyone has their opinions and however they got to that opinion is, you know, their own right. However, I think that it wasn't just on me. Like I could only like in my mind, I go like, I can only have people in the locker room and women in the locker room who are there for, you know, to shine and are going to take the moment and take these opportunities and over deliver. And I couldn't, I'm like, no negativity, no drama, no wenches, none of that. Like we're going to have an awesome night to celebrate women's wrestling. I can't stand any, like, you know, no bad mojo anywhere across the board. So that was important to me. But so the women that I chose for the show, and especially in that producer's roles, the Gales and the Medusa and Jazz, you know, and it was just, and we had some killer guys there helping out too, you know, so the whole team came together, but I just, they really took the ball and the girls really took the ball and every girl went out there and slammed it out of the park. And I could not have asked for for a better moment, for a better company to do it with NWA, and the fact that everybody was able to come together in some form or fashion. And I mean, we promoted it for weeks, like Impact promoted it for weeks on their television, like with the whole story with Melina and Deanna and myself. And it was really awesome, you know, and in reality, those companies didn't have to do that, you know, but they did, because they, whether it's my personal relationship with them, and the Impact has always done stuff for the Knockouts. Like I always say that they were well ahead of the curve with the women's wrestling before it was a thing. And I think that, you know, every company highlights their women or at least one woman or two very, very well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, shit, Becky and Liv just main event at Raw, you know, and that's awesome. I love to see that. I love both those women. So it's just like, you see these things kind of happening, I feel like, out of this, and questions happening, and, you know, people wanting to see each company kind of step up and do more for their girls. And so I love to see that too, because I think it's important, because there's a lot of women out there now, whereas before there wasn't. So, you know, you could justify only having one spot on the card for the girls, because you literally had probably 10 girls, you know, to roll through and stuff. Now, I mean, it's like fields of gold out there with these girls, you know, like there's so many talented women out there who want to be wrestlers, you know, it's crazy. And they're good. They're really good, you know? And so it was cool.
And on top of that, I really feel like the conversation around women's wrestling has really sort of expanded, because, you know, as somebody that covers wrestling on a weekly basis, you know, daily basis, a lot of the people that I speak to, a lot of the people that, you know, come into these podcasts or I talk to on social media, when it comes to the women's segments, there is a lot of passion. There's a lot of, hey, we want to see more women, you know, on these TV shows. We want to see them get more than 2 minutes. We want to see them get more than one match. And that conversation is there. How important do you think it is for the fans to be vocal and say, hey, you know, we care about the women's wrestling that you put on your show?
Well, I think that the fans' voices have been pretty powerful in this whole thing. I mean, I think that, you know, the Women's Wrestling Matter movement, I think the Give the Divas a Chance movement, that all kind of transpired. And that's kind of what I say is, like, when Impact was doing all these things, the girls were getting two segments and they were getting all these, I wrestled in a cage and, you know, there was hardcore matches and last knockout standing matches. There's all these things. It started to kind of fuel like, hey, these girls over here could be doing this too. And now these girls over here could be doing these too, if you just give them the chance. And I think it's important, because if that's something that the audience really wants to see, I mean, obviously I feel like our audiences have never been shy of telling us what they want to see. And obviously, you know, you can't do everything every little thing. Cause it's a lot, you know,
exactly.
That can be demanding sometimes.
Yeah. No, you're like, we want this, we want that.
All these things. No, but it's very important. And I think it's been a huge catalyst and you know, the success of Empower. And I feel like that kind of has helped transpire this like little snowball effect. And hopefully it keeps growing and growing and growing. And I'm excited for it. And I think, you know, it's the difference too, is that, you know, all these girls are very talented now. And so before it was a lack of talent, a lack of the amount of women to be able to fill out an organization or to fill out a card like that, where that's no longer the truth. You know, there is an incredible amount of talent out there. And so it could, you know, I feel like, yeah.
And speaking of incredible talent and the amount of talent, you know, let's talk about your return to Impact Wrestling. I kind of want to get an idea of what the difference or like the difference, the change, what it's been like, you know, returning to the company, and what has like this current regime that, you know, is helping run Impact. How different is it from the past? How is your experience, you know, differentiate, and what is like something that you're just like happy to see in Impact Wrestling?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of the same faces and a lot of different faces, you know. Obviously the locker room is much bigger. The girls, there's the locker room is much bigger. I feel like personally I'm kind of in a different, whereas before when I came back, and even the first time I was there, like first time I was at Impact, I was young, I was hungry, I was trying to make it, I was doing all these things. I was Alexis Lurie, and I was in the gathering, and I was will, you know, would do anything, you know. And then the second time I came back and was able to cultivate hardcore country and do that, and kind of, I felt like morph into who I truly am and who I was as a woman, because I'd always played that girl next door, kind of boppy, or like skips down to the ring, which I love a good skip, you know, we all do. But I felt like I had grown up in the character, but my character hadn't grown up, if that made sense. Not truly. I tried to, like, in gear changes, but with that, I was able to merge my music in and write my own entrance song and really define and play with that character and make her so unique that even when I went back to WWE, I kind of had the thing of like, oh, I really think I should do hardcore country here. And I don't think, you know, obviously it's another company's character or whatever. So I think there was a little bit of that, but plus it was just like, oh, they didn't really get it. And most fans knew me as Mickey James, this one. Right. So, and I also felt like that's what those fans wanted, you know, like I didn't know if they would even know who hardcore country was going there. But yeah, then after everything and then how everything kind of went, you know, before Dixie wasn't, and I love Dixie and she was great. She was there, but now Scott D'Amore's there, and Scott was there when I was there the first time, you know? So it's just like this, and I love Scott. And I think that coming in and not coming in and to be able to do Empower first and before coming in and wrestling, because that was all my focus was on that, and I wanted it to be so. I wasn't taking like any wrestling bookings, I wasn't doing anything, and I was like, I'm only doing this right now, and then when I'm done this and after this is done and after this is successful, then we can figure out what I'm gonna do, if I'm gonna wrestle or whatever. And yeah, I was able to come back and have an awesome match with Deonna, and it's been freaking awesome. I can't even, you know, except for the fact that it's 8 a.m., 9 a.m. in the morning and I have no makeup on, because I was like, oh, maybe I could. I thought my filter.
No, you look marvelous. Marvelous. No, I'm serious.
Moisturizing.
If you wouldn't have said anything, I would have been like, oh, you know, she's just doing like fresh face. Like, I love this look. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it.
We're in my room and we're over Zoom, right? So I picked this corner because I was like, oh, I can pop.
The natural lighting. You're like, let it come in. Let it come in.
And the light, with the lights in here. I mean, if I could show you this light. Look at this. What is this light doing?
See, those ones don't always help very much.
What is that light?
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
I feel you.
Either side.
Oh yeah, I feel you. But it's gonna give you like a nice glow, like a nice, very like soft glow. I love it.
Your soul is glowing. You're glowing. And I'm
Mickey, so I do also want to bring up Deonna Purrazzo, who you just mentioned right now. You're in your fourth, you know, reign as Knockouts World Champion. And Deonna Purrazzo was not a difficult opponent to essentially beat. She was a very dominant champion. And now you guys have gotten into this entire story. You guys have done a lot of cool stuff. I love the stuff that you guys did where she came and she attacked you at your barn. I love that. Tell us a little bit about what it's been like to work with Deonna Purrazzo, and also how that whole thing sort of went down.
Well, I can't believe I didn't have her arrested, you know, for sure, for showing up to my house and beating me up in my own barn. I was just cleaning stalls by myself, you know. No, I will always say that Deonna is probably one of, not only is she probably, you know, one of the greatest Knockouts champions, but she's legitimately probably one of the most talented women I've ever been in the ring with, as far as in the ring, her technical, her game. She's so smooth. She's just crisp. And so I feel like this whole feud, and we're so different. That's the thing. We're so different personality wise and even stylistically, the way we, you know, attack and everything. it made for a very unique type of matchup, you know? And I feel like it was, it's a lot, it's the story that a lot of people can get behind and resonate with. And you know, I've been really interested, you know, since I've won the championship from her and everything that was kind of said and done. It was all this heat, and then she kind of just disappeared, and now she's come back and she's in jeans and a t-shirt. And like, I feel like in my mind when I'm looking, I go, so this championship, she's lost the Pope hat, she's lost the Virtuosa robe. I go, as she's kind of stripped it down to bare bones, and whether it's her getting back to her roots or whatever. But then I go, well, I feel like she's a bit lost without the championship, and she's forgotten because she was champion for so long and such a dominant champion, and she beat everybody and retired people and all these things that she's, you know, became in this own, like, this is what I am. And then without this stripped away, she just doesn't know what to do. And a woman like that can be very dangerous. So Hard to Kill is kind of a good name for whatever's going to happen at this next pay-per-view, because there's certainly no love lost between us. I have a lot of respect, at least on my end, even still. And that was kind of it, is that she just kept disrespecting me, and she kept thinking it or saying it in a way as if I was disrespecting her. And so that was just, we clearly are like oil and vinegar a bit, but we
Yeah.
grow good together on salads.
Yes. And I love it. I love to see what you guys do in the ring. And I'm very excited for Hard to Kill January 8th. I think that you guys kind of bring out the best and the worst in each other, but in like a positive way, though, like where you guys are going to take it to like the extreme and do what you need to do to get the job done. Now, Mickey, I know we have a couple minutes left, so I just want to go ahead and wrap it up with my final question for you. We are about to get into this brand new year, 2022. What are your goals? What is on the bucket list of Mickey James?
Oh gosh. Well, to retain my championship and to, you know, fight anyone who wants to come at me for it and keep retaining it, that would be awesome. I still want to put more focus into the women's division, women's show, or however. So I'm gonna still work, you know, be working on that. And yeah, I have a lot of goals. You know, obviously our supplement company launched last year in the middle of the pandemic, and it's doing so well. So Nick and I have been putting a lot of energy in that and to keep growing that guy. I have so many. I have so many. I'm trying to get my son to get on a horse and maybe teach him how to ride.
That's
He's
so cute.
not into it.
Oh no.
He
Is
doesn't
he
like heights.
afraid?
He doesn't like heights, is what he told me.
Oh,
No,
poor thing. I feel
I
so bad.
don't. Oh no.
It's such a beautiful thing, though, to like even get the opportunity to even learn how to ride a horse. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, that just doesn't go down here in Los Angeles.
Oh, I think it's because I grew up and I go, I don't know if this is a girl thing, boy thing, because my little brother, like obviously my sister and I learned how to ride when we were very young, and I've ridden all my life. And my little brother, I remember he learned how to ride, but he just wasn't that into it. He's like, oh,
Oh.
I'd rather ride the four-wheeler. And I'm like, oh, okay. You
You're
know,
like, is this hereditary? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know, but there's a lot of male riders, clearly. There's a lot of
Yeah.
men out there, horse trainers and riders and stuff, but cowboys.
Of course, of
Maybe he's in a
course.
different seat because, but I, it's a Western saddle. Like I have an English saddle, but I put him in a Western saddle. He's just not into it.
Wow. Well, you just, you know, different people, different interests, etc. That's the fun thing. You get to learn,
We
like,
were gonna
what.
have this thing, Denise. I thought we were gonna share this moment, this thing we were gonna be riding
And
together, galloping through the fields.
oh, I love that. That would have been great. That would have been fantastic.
Would have been.
Well, maybe he'll change his mind.
We'll
Maybe
see.
it'll happen. There'll
I
be a
don't know if it'll
moment.
happen. I don't see it happening, I'll be honest. You know,
Let's hope they click.
as far as that goes, no, but in all seriousness, yes, to retain the championship, to keep kicking ass. I think there's a lot of women out there that I would still love to face. I got to get through Deanna first and beat her again so I can shut her up for good. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm excited. I'm excited. So until then, I'm just
Exactly.
down doors, you know,
Yes, keep doing it.
with my
Keep doing it.
family.
It's so exciting to see. Like, I love it. You know, I've always been a big fan of yours. You already know that. I did the fangirling in our first interview, and I was like, I won't continue the fangirling on the second interview, but seriously, I'm a big fan of your work. So lastly, Mickey James, please feel free to plug in anything you'd like to plug
Oh,
in.
you're so sweet. Well, anybody can find me at mickeyjames.com. We kind of just revamped my website. Kristen Ashley kind of revamped it for me. And we did a little zhuzh over there. You can find all my socials at Mickey James Twitter, at the Mickey James on Instagram. And I just have to say to you, before I go, to watch you grow, especially over the last year or so, it's been amazing. And we need more women's voices in wrestling. And so I really appreciate it. I think you're amazing. So
thank you. You're going to make me emotional. You're like, don't cry. You're not supposed to cry.
Yeah, I love to see it. And I love to see the women get more voices in the, you know, in those conversations, be it be, you know, the press conferences and stuff like that. And these conversations with different talent, because it's important that we have the woman's perspective on the product and on these things. So, and you have a very good one. So I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You have no idea what that means. That officially made like the rest of like my life. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Mickey. Thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you for doing like for the kind words and for doing everything that you do. I hope we get to, I'm pretty sure we'll talk again in the future, but other than that, I'll let you go and continue on with your day. Thank you so much, Mickey.
No worries. Have a great day, Dara.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Bye.